Hello, everybody. Welcome to Trade TV. I'm Al Payton. We've got John Ralph here from the Herald Sun. We're going to try and update everybody on what is happening in the wide world of trades. We've reached the end of week one of, well, today's the last day of free agency, actually. And then we've got till next Thursday night till the trade deadline. So still lots more to play out. We'll quickly wrap up what's happened so far today and then see where everything else is sitting. Obviously, we've got the live blog running all day on the Herald Sun and all the News Corp websites. So jump on there, grab a subscription, and you'll get all the trade news as it happens. Ralphie, the one deal that has happened today is that Sean McKernan has signed with St Kilda as a delisted free agent, so no compensation there for Essendon. Have you got any thoughts on that move? Were you surprised Essendon let him go?
Of course he signed with St Kilda. St Kilda seems to be signing up absolutely everyone right now. And again, for almost, well, three-fifths of stuff. Well, they got Brad Crouch in as a free agent after some beautiful wheeling dealing and some threats as well. And then we're able to secure him. Now, he was going to Melbourne. He very much had resigned himself to the fact he was likely to just be there as an insurance ruckman and key forward. And then Brett Ratton knocked on his door and said, mate, we desperately want you. And then they lifted his price, maybe by something like $50,000 over the Melbourne offer. And as a result, he's going to play there. I think it's a great deal for them. Look, I think both St Kilda and Melbourne would have known that he was likely to be delisted. So I know some people will say, why wouldn't Essendon have got a pick for him? But you know, this was a player who was not likely to be offered a contract. And so whether it happens now as a free agent or whether it happens in a month, I think it just gets him off Essendon's books and away they go. But Essendon clearly need to bring in someone because right now they just ain't got any players out there that have kicked more than 1.5 goals a game since back to 2017 when Joe Danaher was a star. And we all know Joe Danaher is not going to be there next year.
Yeah, no, Essendon definitely got plenty of irons in the fire. Quickly on the free agency, do you expect anything else to go through before the deadline at the end of today? Stephen Martin's name has come up in discussions.
Yeah, that's right. Look, Steph might well be a late trade as well. Now, right now, he's not officially delisted by Brisbane. And so I think what will happen there is it'll be a late throwaway pick. I love it for the Western Bulldogs. I think that's a fantastic move. I mean, he was just manhandled, Tim English, at times, their senior ruckman this year. He had that amazing game against Essendon. And you thought, mate, this is his coronation. He's going to be the next superstar ruckman. And he was just, look, he just got tired. And so, look, if it was not for that back stress fracture, I think that that Steph Martin probably would have stayed in that team and probably would have still showed he's the number one ruckman. So right now, the era of Oscar McInerney starts. He's a really impressive player. He's got some real cult hero about him. And so, look, I think if I was the Brisbane Lions, I'd be saying Oscar plays and Joe Danaher plays 30% as a ruckman. I think you free him up. He gets up the ground. He gets away from those goal-kicking gips. Probably similar to Matthew Richardson, but right now, Steph Martin gets to the Western Bulldogs, but probably more likely as a trade.
Now, we've talked about Essendon a bit. Jack has sent in a question here, listed a whole bunch of names, and we talked about whether they need another tall target up forward. Is Peter Wright an option potentially for there? And then what's happening with all these other Bombers?
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's very likely, probably not quite certain, but very likely that Peter Wright will play there. The issue for Gold Coast is that he's on about $500,000, so they're just going to have to move on some of that cap space. You know, there are players like Corbett and clearly Sam Day and clearly Ben King that have gone past him, and I just don't think that they see any way in which he's going to play in the senior side next year. So I think they'll be happy to move on some of that cap space. It gives them some more list sizes. They've got a lot of players that are contracted, and so they're happy to move him on. I think Will Brody will probably stay. I fell in love with Peter Wright. I think Kevin Bartlett did as well, you know, 2 metre Peter. He's gone like a bastard, unfortunately, you know, in the last couple of years. And even in some of those scratch matches, I said, well, surely he's shown some real, you know, attributes that would have other clubs interested in him. But I think he just paddled this year. And so it's a bit of a risk for Essendon. I don't think any Essendon fan would come in and think he's going to come and kick 60. And yet he can run like the wind. He can play a bit of ruck. He can clearly play key forward and he's really versatile. And so he's got upside. I think it's a good move by Essendon, but it's still not going to solve all of their forward woes.
And what about some of these other guys? Fantasia, there's been some interesting haggling going on there. Adrian Dodoro doing some of his best work.
That's right. He just threw up just a poultice of star players that the Port Adelaide Footy Club were never going to release. They chuckled about that. They said yesterday it's just Adrian doing what Adrian does. It's almost just that ambit play claim that you have to accept from Adrian. You sweep it aside, then you get on with the real negotiation. So right now they're offering up pick 29. Now Essendon believe when all those NGA and father-son picks come in, that 29 will turn into about 38 on draft night. I think even fair-minded Port Adelaide fans would say that 38 is not enough for Orazio Fantasia, given his talent. And so what Essendon is asking for is a pick of about 20. Now, that would require some horse trading and wheeling and dealing. Even 20 will get back to 26 or 27. And so I think if you said what's the pick that would satisfy that is fair for both clubs, it's about 27. And so, look, I'm sure at some stage Port Adelaide will be able to elevate their 29, maybe by cashing in a later pick and doing a pip swap. Lots of deals that might not get done. I think Orazio will definitely be playing at the Port Adelaide Footy Club. And he has told Adrian, as have his management in the last 36 hours, there is no way he's going back to Essendon.
Yeah, what about those? You talk about deals that might not get done. Saad and Dunkley were two other names that Essendon's trying to get in or get out. How are they going?
Yeah, well, Jay Clark has reported today in the Herald Sun and on Super Footy Online that certainly that pick nine that Carlton has, they're trying to turn that into a pick swap. A couple of later picks for Port Adelaide at something like 18 and 20. Look, I reckon that'd be, you know, red rag to a bull stuff. You know, like I think you'd want to be really sure that you're going to get Adam Saad through the door. Now, you know, like, clearly he's an exceptional player. The worst case possible, worst scenario for Carlton would be to get half smart, push those two picks back to 18 and 20, and then Essendon just says, look, it's just not happening. We're keeping this player. If you do get him through the preseason, we're happy to match a bid before you. So, look, you know, normally you'd say that's a risk worth taking given the Jack Martin scenario, but Carlton also have the situation where they weren't able to get Tom Papley done. I think Adam Saad's so critical to their plans next year. You know, they're clearly threatening it. So whether that happens or not, or whether they just say, we'll give up that pick 8 or 9 and we'll get back a second or third rounder later on, yeah, I think it's a really high-risk strategy from Carlton. And that's for Josh Dunkley, sorry, as well. Yeah, so quite clearly, the Bulldogs are just saying it's not happening, we're not trading him, but we know there are 6 days left. And so I think that the Western Bulldogs will spend the next 3 or 4 days thinking to themselves, if we were to accept, say, pick 7 or 8 or one of those trio of the top 10 picks that Essendon have, what do we do with it? We know, of course, Jamal Ugal-Hagen will come in. If they were to keep that pick, it would be swallowed up in terms of the bidding system. So they have to secure a pick knowing they have an immediate plan B to think, what do they do with it? So they'd be scrutinising right now the salary cap and whether they potentially could afford someone like Adam Treloar. The problem right now is there's not a lot of those other midfielders that that are obvious in terms of who would you be able to secure with a top 10 pick. They clearly would want to, you know, reinforce their midfield. You know, if it was that there were players out there like Clayton Oliver who were gettable, you know, potentially they'd be thinking, okay, we'll use that pick 6 or 7 and we'll trade it for Clayton Oliver. It's great. We basically do a swap of Josh Dunkley for Clayton Oliver. There are none of those names out there that are publicly available. But Sam Power, the Bulldogs list manager, will be saying publicly, we are not doing a thing about Josh Dunkley. Behind the scenes, you'd be thinking, okay, who's gettable out there? We can actually make a deal work for us and get a player into our system who's desperate to play for us, not one who's desperate to get out the door.
Brian Hart's put a question in here. His name's been mentioned a couple of times. Hurley at the Bombers, I mean, he would seem a good fit for the Bulldogs potentially, another tall defender, maybe free up Alex Keith, but is that realistic?
No, it's not. And it's one that I'd thrown up. So it's a great suggestion there. I just think given that Hurley's 30, given that Brandon Zerk-Thatcher and Ridley and maybe Aaron Francis and, you know, 4 or 5 other, Mason Redmond, there's a lot of those medium and key position defenders there that are probably part of the new era at Essendon. The way it was explained to me, though, is that this is an Essendon footy club that has had battled with its relationships, you know, battled with, you know, culture. It's an easy word to throw around. But, you know, the senior and junior players at times haven't got on as well as they might have this year. And the fact that 3 or 4 players are leaving, you know, is a clear issue the club needs to rectify. Now, if you're looking for the number one relationship builder at the football club, well, it's Michael Hurley. And so they just can't afford to lose the off-field stuff as well as the on-field stuff. Now, clearly, you know, their captain in Dyson Heppel is a leader, that kind of stuff as well. So, you know, you don't throw players out who are stars. More to the point, though, you don't lessen your culture when you need to improve it. And so I think that's why that they will stick fat with Michael Hurley, as much as the fact he's a very good footballer as well.
And quickly, we'll get off the Bombers in a second, but Joy Caldwell's another name player who is nominated that he wants to play for Essendon. Is that deal close to getting done, or where are we at?
There's a lot of talk around that they might try and get him through to the preseason draft. I spoke to Essendon yesterday. They said that's not going to happen. They're offering a future second round pick, and their rationale is that, you know, say if Essendon isn't that great next year and they have got some, there are a team in transition, maybe that pick might be, you know, something like 24 or 25. Now, of course, the draft will be unadulterated in terms of them not allowing clubs to bid on the NGA Academy picks at least until 21. I think GWS is saying we want a top 10 pick for him. I sympathise with GWS. You know, they released a player, well, they were prepared to trade a player that many clubs were after, including St Kilda and Essendon. Essendon will play a very reasonable deal, $450,000 plus over 4 or 5 years. And then Essendon says, but by the way, we'll only give you a second rounder. So, you know, again, that's a deal that Essendon might have to sweeten, but another deal I'm certain will get done.
And now what about Tom Phillips switching to the Pies? He's been linked to Hawthorn. Is that across the line, do you reckon?
Well, multiple reports that that's the case today through Tom Morris and also Tom Brown. I think that clearly Collingwood has him, you know, moving off to a good home. His manager, Ian Alex McDonald, said last week on Trade Radio, he's very keen to play pure wing. He certainly won't be doing that given the rise of the Dacos boys. Of course, Josh this year and Nick next year. And so I just think everything just stacks up. The Collingwood would like to move on his salary. Hawthorn need those experienced players. Yeah, he's not a beautiful kick of the ball, but he's a beautiful ball winner. He's relentless up and down the wing. And what we've found these days with these modern wingers like the Camden McIntoshes of the world, you don't need to be a superstar. You just need to really fulfil your role as an elite runner. And so I think if you're a Hawthorn fan wanting to bring some younger players in, he's not 21, but he's in that right age bracket. You still keep your pick four. You probably don't have to give up the world for him. I just think it makes sense for both clubs.
And still on the Pies, Treloar is obviously the big elephant in the room that'll probably go all the way down to the last day of trades, but a couple of other players there, including Jaden Stephenson, that might be moving on. Where do you think it'll all end up?
Well, I think clubs right now are assessing, you know, the flaws in Jaden Stephenson's game. I mean, clearly they've seen him as a rising star 2 years ago. We've got an article coming out with Vic McGuire. I spoke to him about the remarkable, you know, fall of Jaden Stephenson. Along with Tom McDonald, I think they're the two players who have been the most disappointing in the competition in terms of superstars in 2018, just mystifying form lapses, you know, across last year and then into this year as well. And so, look, I think there's clubs like Melbourne who should be having a crack at Jaden Stephenson. You know, he was always seen to be that guy who could turn into an elite wingman. Now, even Robert Harvey, you know, he talked about that. You know, this guy who's going to be unstoppable on a wing. Now, for various reasons, which only Collingwood know about, he hasn't been able to do that. Clearly, for Collingwood to be shopping, and they've lost faith in his capacity to be that resilient player, you know, the gut-running wingman. And so that's why they're at least putting him on the table there. So I think clubs will be thinking, okay, is this a guy who was a bit skittish, you know, who is a bit reserved around traffic or timid, as Mick McGowan spoke about him, mid-year in the Herald Sun, or is he a guy who's just had a terrible year and can bounce back? So no real suitors at this stage, but I'm sure that they'll come for him. Mason Cox is another one that, you know, clubs like Sydney, I think, have been quiet about, even the Western Bulldogs. But it seems most likely right now that because Collingwood can't nail any other forward targets, you know, had to think about Jesse Hogan, maybe Josh Kennedy, maybe Jeremy Cameron, that you'd think that they're more likely to keep Mason Cox, albeit having, you know, smoothed out his salary bill by giving him another year on his contract, but giving him a lesser deal over those two seasons.
Are you willing to take a punt on Treloar, where he'll end up?
I reckon there's enough suitors for him. Now, clearly, you know, as we spoke about and wrote about in the Herald Sun, I mean, how do you absorb that $900,000 contract? I just wonder if for Adam's sake, you know, you maybe just have to take a small pay cut. Now, he's not prepared to do that. He's pushed that deal back for Collingwood for so long. But I think if he was an $800,000 player, I think some clubs out there would be really keen on him. And the Western Bulldogs should be keen on him. Hawthorn should be keen on him if they don't have to give up pick four. Now, again, I mean, the top five picks in the draft will be so elite. So, you know, Hawthorn can't even really be seen to be splitting that number four selection and, you know, taking him with maybe pick 20 and keeping pick 12 or 13. But clearly, if they could get him for a second rounder, and that depends on how desperate Collingwood is to shed that salary cap space, they'd be a club in the window. I think Carlton have got, you know, room. They haven't got the picks given they're going to give up, the Adam Sard pick. But in a best case scenario, maybe Carlton could split that pick 8 or 9 right now. You give up a teen selection for Adam Treloar. You give up a teen selection for Adam Sard. I think that's a Tim Mitchell fever dream. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but these are the things list managers to be talking about right now.
All right, we switch over to the Tigers. You'd be still enjoying the premiership win, obviously. Surely they're not in a position to go shopping for anybody, but what's the latest on, we saw Oleg Markov has gone to Gold Coast. Jack Higgins, there was a bit of talk about the Saints, but latest is maybe the Tigers. I don't know if that one's going to be as easy as some of these other guys that have been happy to just send off for late picks.
No, it's a good point, isn't it? And I think Richmond's philosophical position is that if he is desperate to be traded to another club for more opportunity, we will probably eventually acquiesce to that. And yet, you know, he's a pick 17 of only a couple of years back. He's played 43 games over, you know, 2.5 seasons, given one of those, you know, years he had his brain issues. And so, you know, look, I don't think he's been starved of opportunities. He's played 10 games this year. He didn't play finals, of course. And I just feel like he's a really exciting player. He's instinctive. He's got special capacity. you know, the way it was explained to me is that, you know, maybe, you know, other players are more rigid towards the game plan and everyone, you know, at Richmond has to play the Richmond way. So they don't say that as a negative, they say it as a positive. You know, once he can actually learn how to play, you know, very much to the game plan, but with a bit of the individual flair that Richmond still wants its players to play with, he's going to be an even better player. You know, there's no reason that they don't see him playing from round one on all the way through to, well, that fourth premiership in 5 years, Al. But again, if he's steadfast that he's desperate to leave, they will let him go. But he's a pick 17, 3 years ago, as I said. You know, you'd want a pretty reasonable compensation selection as a result. And right now, St Kilda's got pick 17 and then about something like 64. And so, you know, they'd have to bring in a selection for him to be able to be traded. What's that pick right now? They've got, 15, 58, 71. That might be a couple of days old. So, you know, that pick 60 is their second rounder, a second pick. They'd have to find a, you know, maybe a pick 25 or 30 to acquire him.
And, yeah, from a Richmond point of view, obviously Trent Cotchin and Shane Edwards and these guys aren't going to be there forever. They're sort of getting past 30, so you know, they don't want to be getting rid of all their young players.
Yeah, what do you think about him, Al? Like, do you think he's a capacity to play as that sort of elite mid? I think, I suppose the thing too, with a full midfield complement this year in the finals, even Shai Bolton got pushed to half forward. So, yeah, he's probably two or three, you know, key position spots off being in that starting midfield and in a team, of course, which has Thompson Dow and Riley Collier-Dawkins, who, you know, the club's really keen to play. They just haven't really had room for him.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, I think, I'm not sure, has he got the tank to be a full-time midfielder? But you could imagine him being a sort of a smart forward who could go in there maybe in bursts. As a junior, his numbers were unbelievable. With, certainly from champion data, how much impact he could have on games. So, yeah, I don't think the Tigers will be too keen to get rid of him if they don't have to. Got a question here from C.A. Wang about North Melbourne. So he's asking about the coach. Have we heard anything about what's happening down at Arden Street on that front? And also, trade-wise, Sean Higgins, that hasn't officially happened yet, but we think it will. Jed Anderson's name's come up in the last 24 hours or so.
Yeah, that's right. On Jed Anderson, Liam Pickering, who's his manager, said they're a fair way apart on the sum. I think Jed's really keen to stay. You know, there's a real opportunity there for him. I think if you want to quibble about North Melbourne's strategy, they shouldn't have been, you know, public in shopping around Ben Brown. And you know, there's no real reason for them not to have secured Jed Anderson. But that's the byplay that happens involving list managers and player managers. I think he'll still stay at the footy club. Jared Pollock's certainly going to stay. A lot of talk around him, but the club's very comfortable that he'll be there. So Geelong list manager Stephen Wells is happy to give up pick 37 for Sean Higgins. Now, North Melbourne saying we definitely want a lot more than that. Their issue is that they're happy for him to be traded there. They feel like he's only got one really good year at North Melbourne, and that's why they feel like, you know, they're prepared to release him. So, you know, I'm not sure what their leverage is, given that they don't really want him as a player. You know, again, you know, a player who's 32, he's probably about pick 30, you know, so they're offering 37. Again, it's something I think they'll get done. Another deal, another player who I'm certain will be moving clubs, and, you know, I can't see that deal running aground in any way.
And Ben Brown will go to the Demons?
Yeah, he'll go to the Demons, yeah. We're not quite sure on the specifics of that contract. I assume it's a four-year deal. I don't know if they're offering him $500,000. And so North Melbourne would like a late first or an early second round back. Right now, Melbourne's got a pick there. I think it's about 25. And so, you know, yeah, Melbourne are saying that's enough. North Melbourne are saying, look, we'd like a little bit more, given 25 will push back a few selections as well. So there's a bit of haggling to be done there. What's Melbourne got afterwards? 47, 62. You know, so whether there's a way in which both of those clubs can swap something around a bit, you know, swap future seconds or something, I'm sure there's a capacity to get that deal done.
And have you heard anything on the coach front?
So the speculation around today was that West Coast assistant Jamie Graham is someone that's in the mode there. Adam Kingsley from Richmond, who's done really impressive things at St Kilda before that, and even Robert Harvey, who has gone for a number of these roles and has been the senior Collingwood assistant. They're three that have been in dispatches. You know, we pushed up Michael Voss as someone who would be keen to do it, but certainly has a caveat in regards to what that contract would look like. I think North Melbourne's had a few coaches there who just feel like they would only do it under certain circumstances, whether it's a 3 or 4 year deal, whether it's a bigger payout clause. I think Voss is in that boat, and whether he wants to go through the entire process as well and then be rejected and then be that, you know, that Brian Royal, you keep missing out on roles as he did last year at Carlton. So maybe he's like Alan Richardson at St Kilda. You know, I'm there, I'm waiting. You know how good I am. I'm happy to have a chat to you, but only if, you know, I'm the preferred candidate. I know that's a really, you know, it's a delicate balancing act, but I don't think he's officially out of the race, but I think certainly he's got some conditions on how he would apply for the job.
And is there any time frame on that?
Well, Ben Buckley, the chairman, said to me, I think at the end of November. So what are we now, 6th of November now? They're not interested at all in trying to fast-track this one, given, of course, that, you know, there was some criticism of how they came to the selection of their previous coach in Reece Shaw. So, they'll just get through the trade period and the free agency period and they'll get the best bloke in for the role. It's still hard to see exactly how they're going to fill up that list of about 14 players they've moved on. But they just keep saying, like, we had a lot of those senior players who were not playing great footy. If we kept them on, you would have criticised us. We've cut deep, as we should do. And so, you know, they're going to have to bring in a few more players. They've got Lewis Young from the Western Bulldogs. Of course, they got Aiden Corr. They'll bring in 6 or 7 draft picks, but they're still going to have to find a couple of free agents out there. And right now, it's not immediately apparent who they are. So their picks right now are 2-9, 25, 67, 65, 75. They'll bring in something like, you know, 35 for Higgins and... And I'll go to the draft. So it's a good draft hand, but it's not sort of that absolutely elite draft hand. We just wonder how they might be able to bring in another pick or two.
Quick one. We'll just wrap up shortly, but Greg Pearson asking about some of these St Kilda players who've been sort of maybe on the fringes a little bit. Luke Dunstan, Seb Ross, a couple of others that have come up at Webster and McKenzie. Are they likely to end up anywhere else?
Well, Jake Clark's thrown up McKenzie as someone who might move on, and I don't think he'll get games next year. So it's something that clearly, you know, they would clearly be looking at. I think another one, Shane Savage. You know, he's probably likely to be pushed out as well. And I think there are suitors for him on Webster. I think he's on a reasonable deal. So I think, you know, any club that was keen on him would probably do so only at the right price. And I don't know if he's on $400,000 or $500,000. That's going to make it hard right now. St Kilda saying, like, I think with players like him and Dunstan. No, we're very happy to have them. They're contracted. But I think if anyone came late for them, I think St Kilda would be more than happy to move them on because it just gives them more cap space for, you know, the likes of, you know, Ben King in a couple of years. Jack Carlisle, someone who's been offered, I think, a one-year deal, maybe with a trigger for a second at St Kilda. So I think he ideally might have thought, well, what if we get to Hawthorn, who were interested in me 3 or 4 years ago, but they've gone for others instead. First went for Aiden Corr and then got Kyle Hartigan. So I don't think he's likely to go there. So, look, at the very worst, St Kilda's got a lot of depth in those positions and that's not a bad thing to have. But I still just wonder whether they've got one more shot in the locker. They've got 17 this year. They've got a future first next year. They've got cap space they've been banking for years. Whether it's Treloar or whether there are other players out there they can drag out of other clubs and just turn this into a really elite midfield rather than, one with a few blue chip players but still a few flaws in it.
Yeah, and if anyone hasn't read it yet, get on the Herald Sun website or pick up the papers today. And Ralphie's done a great analysis about James Gallagher, the Saints' Lispos, and how he turned basically one great good draft pick last year into all those recruits and that they're still going. Remarkable story.
The problem with really good publicity like that is that it gets harder to deal with people because all of a sudden people realise that you're winning a few trades. You know, as Adrian Dodoro has found out, and he still keeps getting deals done, but it means that clubs get a little bit warier rather than looking back in hindsight and think, hang on, he might have just got hoodwinked there.
All right, Ralphie, thanks for joining us. We'll wrap it up there, but just with a week to go, who are you, you know, what are the names or the clubs that you're going to be watching the most closely over the next few days?
Well, as always, Essendon has got, you know, seemingly the most to do. Now, I'm still really confident they will get all of those players in Peter Wright, Jai Caldwell, Adam Saad. Again, you know, they probably need to find another key position forward. So is there a way they can do that? Geelong, I think, is just going to have to just bite the bullet and just use 2 of those first 3 picks. Now, I think GWS would like a pick within 10. And so that's going to be challenging given that, you know, the only way to get picks within 10 is to maybe, you know, use both of those first rounders to get within 10, and then they'll put their hand up for the third. They have to find a way to keep one of those 3 first-round picks. And then, of course, as I say, St Kilda's got shots in the locker. Brisbane's done really well. We'll try and get up the draft now. North Melbourne need to find 4 or 5 players. And the Western Bulldogs, well, they need to not only keep Josh Dunkley and keep him happy and have a resolution which would see him, you know, be keen to play out his full career at the club, not just have a standoff for another year. Either do that or, as I say, go and get that Adam Treloar deal done. And, of course, the Pies, well, they've just got 1 million balls in the air. So if you were anyone who, you know, wanted to turn a loss into a win, it'd be Ned Guy in the next 6 days.
Yeah, plenty to play out and plenty to watch. So stick with us here at Super Footy, the Herald Sun, all the News Corp sites. We'll be doing more of these trade videos, and of course the blog's going every day. Grab the paper and you'll see everything that happens over the next week or so. Ralphie, thanks for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Al.